Good evening. My name is Nancy Winder. I'm the pastor in the village. Tonight, Ron Dwyer Voss from our teaching staff has Vespers with assistance from the Holden Village Rock and Roll Band. Yes. And he wants us to start tonight by singing hymn 638. You should all have a copy of the ELW and also one sheet of paper that says, "And God said yes" on it several times. That's for the end, but right now we'll sing hymn 638. 638, please stand as you're able.
Colossians, as surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we preached among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it was always yes. For the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why we utter the amen through him to the glory of God. So for those of you who have been paying attention, that's the scriptural inspiration for this year's theme, and I just love this year's theme. I remember other years because there's t-shirts that go with them. I'll remember this one without a t-shirt. I think it's an amazing, amazing theme. The promises of God and Christ as God's yes. And a lot of us know those promises. We've been taught them over and over. Yes, I will be with you always. Yes, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth and bring you home. Yes, I knew you before you were born. Yes, I love you. Yes, I accept you. Yes, I forgive you. Yes, I deeply care about you. Yes, I can live in and through you. It's amazing promises. But Paul Hinnerly the other night reminded me that at Holden, we do a lot of preaching to the choir. And there is affirmational value in that. Some of these things we cannot hear too many times, especially when we're feeling broken or discovering something new about ourselves, which happens at Holden a lot. But Nancy said I only had 45 minutes. So I'm not going to focus on the promises as much as how we might experience them. How do we experience these promises? Do we experience them by praying harder? Maybe. By living simpler? Probably. Sell all we have and give to the poor? A good bet, but not likely. Bob Sorensen and his Bible studies have reminded us of Luther's proclamation that when we're seeking God, we can never go too deeply into the flesh of humanity. When we are seeking God, we can never go too deeply into the flesh of humanity. In other words, as Christians, we experience the yes of Christ and the promises of God through each other, through community, through the people sitting next to us, through the people we don't want to sit next to. And we all know, if we think about it, that that is the secret of Holden. The mountains may bring us here, but the hope of experiencing community brings us back, for many of us, over and over again. There are other mountains. I'm from Northern California. There's the Sierra Nevadas. There's Yosemite. They're a lot easier to get to. We come back here for community. We come back here to experience Christ in each other. And this is good news for those of us, most of us, I think, who think, how do I take this Holden experience back home? Who's had that thought? How do I do this back home? Yeah. How do I take it down the lake? How do we live this theme, the promises of God, without buckskin or copper on the horizon, without the grandeur of Bonanza in places like Holden and Heart Lakes, without that weird rushing calm of 10 Mile Falls, or the comfort of nightly vespers, the backdrop of blue skies, or the background music of Railroad Creek? I think about this every time I come here, and I've determined, and I'm here to tell you, there's an answer. There's two possibilities for bringing Holden home. To take the experience of the promise of God to our routine, busy, sometimes seemingly mundane, regular, non-Holden lives. Well, probably three. Paul would say, put Holden in your will, but I'm going to focus. Option one, we can go home and restructure our lives and households so that we eat breakfast at 8. We have coffee break at 10. We're served a gourmet lunch between 12 and 1. Then a homemade dinner about 4 hours later. And then finish with ice cream. As a former Holden lead cook, I firmly believe this option has everything to do with your experience here. So I'm just going to take a second and thank the cooks. They set the tone. So this option will probably work, but it is probably not practical for most of you to hire the Holden kitchen staff and bring them home for you. And for many of us, it would be very unhealthy unless we had hills and mountains to climb every day with the abundance of food. So we got to come up with another option, the much more practical and doable.
by everybody from 3 to 93. That option is to go home and engage in conversations, and intentional conversations. Conversations that increase our connectedness to the other, to the human flesh around us, where Luther tells us we find Christ. Conversations that link other conversations together, that create interconnectedness and small groups or micro communities. How many of you have met somebody during a visit to Holden that you connected with in maybe a few hours or a few days, more than you know your next door neighbor, the person living down the hall or in the next cubicle at work, or sitting next to you in the classroom at school or the pew at church? How many of you have had that kind of thing happen here? It's easy here because Holden is a place of conversation. It is part of regular life here. Space is made for it. Safety is made for it. But it doesn't just have to be that here. Conversations are the mortar, the adhesive of community. No conversation, no community. And community is where we go deep into the flesh of humanity, experiencing what it is to be fully alive in Christ, experiencing the holy and divine through the messy, confusing, jumbled world of each other. So option two doesn't require hiring the cold and kitchen staff or installing a Hobart dishwasher. It's just to go home and have what community organizers call learning conversations. Conversations that prioritize listening to the other, asking questions rather than providing answers, being present rather than fixing, learning about people's gifts, helping people uncover their gifts, sharing dreams and concerns, and doing this regularly, like we do here. And then the Holden moments will come, and you will experience the promises of God and the yes in Christ. But what about those of us, and this happens to many of us at Holden, who are touched by God's promise and call to create a new earth, a new world, based on the peace and justice where love is present, manifest in practice? The good news is, and my personal testimony to you is this, that the most radical act against the status quo is to engage in intentional and meaningful conversations with our neighbors. The most radical act you can engage in to change the world is to engage in conversations with our neighbors, especially the ones you don't want to talk to. Peter Block, in his book Community, which if you're struggling with questions to ask people, has a whole guide, so you don't have to be a natural at this. But he talks about shifting the context of community, and he says this: the context that restores community is one of possibility, generosity, and gifts, rather than one of problem-solving, fear, and retribution. A new context acknowledges that we all have capacity. We all have expertise and our resources that an alternative future requires. Communities are human systems given form by conversations that build relatedness. The conversations that build relatedness most often occur through associational life where people show up by choice, and rarely in the context of system life where people show up out of obligation. The small group is the unit of transformation and the container for the experience of belonging. I have never been part in 25 years of community organizing and a lot of successes that didn't draw back their success to a series of small groups that came together and made something happen. And those small groups are connected by, their mortar again, is conversation. And the small groups are the bricks with which we build the new future. So whether we've been touched by the promises of God or experienced the holy and sacred through relationships, we can take it with us. You can take the Holden experience home, wherever or wherever you go next. So I know a lot of you aren't sure where that's going to be. But what you can take with you is the ability to have the conversations, the knowledge that God promises you many, many things, and that you can experience the yes of those promises in Christ. And you don't have to sit on a mountaintop to do it, and you don't have to become a monk to do it. You just need to immerse yourself in your neighbors, engage in conversations, listen, watch, and you'll start to see the Spirit work. It really isn't that much more complicated. God, God's promises, the yes of God's presence, the yes of God's love, the yes of God's comfort when we need it, and God's stirring when we're too comfortable, can be experienced in the humanity sitting next to us. No religious training required, no advanced skills or profound spiritual gifts needed, no mountains or blueberry-filled coffee breaks necessary. Just say yes and have some conversations. So now to help us and lead us in celebrating and affirming God's yes to our own yes is the band we all know will soon knock Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga off the charts. The one and only Paul and the Promises.
Thank you, Brother Ron. Well, neighbors, we have a small group here that's been in conversation, right? You have been, God Said Yes, written by Norman Hobble at Holden Village in 1969 and resurrected this last year with Norman's blessing from Australia. And what's the name of our small group here who's going to help us sing this and dance to it? The Holdeners. Okay. Now, we haven't been in conversation for long, so we're going to want all of you to stand so that those of us who are shy can sing out loud and proud. And I've got to put on my dancing shirt, which is going to be auctioned off tomorrow, so I never have to wear it again. There.
Yes.
Go in peace. Serve the living God.